This nice book about Guru Tattva that has a series of 80 questions that were presented over many meetings. That they, in 1887, with a descendant of Bir Chandra Goswami, Birabhadra, who was the, of course, the son of Lord Nityananda. And there are many, many acharyas have come in the lines called Nityananda Vamsha. Many wonderful gurus have come in the line of Lord Nityananda after Birachandra. First there was Lord Nityananda, then there was Janavamata, then her son, Birachandra. Actually, Birachandra is the son of Vasudeva, but he was initiated by his mother, Janavamata. Then he initiated so many disciples, and they became gurus, and they had their disciples, and they became gurus, and like that. We'll read a little bit about this Guru Tattva. Because in Siddhanta, they say that, of course, there's 10 basic pramayas, basic subject matters in spiritual life. Srishti Tattva, Rasa Tattva, Prema Tattva. Shakti Tattva. Then you have Guru Tattva and Shiva Tattva. So they say that of all the tattvas, Jiva Tattva, Guru Tattva, and Shiva Tattva are the most difficult to understand. Prema Tattva is not so difficult. Rasa Tattva is not so difficult. Srishti Tattva means creation, is not so difficult. But Guru Tattva is a little bit difficult to understand. So, because we're all trying to serve our spiritual masters. And this book has many different questions and answers given, and I've looked at some of them, and they're quite good. They start off kind of from the beginning, so a lot of it may seem redundant for those who've already accepted Guru, but in other words, the first question is the need for accepting Guru. But then later on, you get things like, is service to Guru more difficult than service to Krishna? Different kinds of devotion to the Guru. And then you get, towards the end, there's subjects like... That's very interesting. The result of holding Sri Gurudev's foot dust. Sri Guru's loving dealings give the greatest delight to the disciple. There are specific rules for accepting the holy name and the holy mantra given by the Guru. Or prospective disciples asking questions from this. Today, please give us some instructions about Sri Guru Tattva. Why is it necessary to take a guru to advance on the path of sadhana? How should we become bound up in a relationship with Sri Gurudev? Please explain to us whatever there is we should know about that. Important question. And he says, look, I guess he says, Deko, in order to make advancement on the spiritual path and to attain a genuine religious life, the sadhaka, everyone knows sadhaka, right? So, must first of all take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, Ado Guru Padashraya. Ado Guru Padashraya. Pretty clear. First, one must take shelter of a guru. Without taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, it is not possible to make any advancement on the path of religion. Now we have to see who is a bona fide spiritual master. And basically, part of what we're going through this discussion of Guru Tattva to increase our relationship and understanding of guru, and also so we can, those that are, those persons that are looking for guru or searching for guru, by hearing from this shastra, they'll have a better understanding what to look for and what to, what to expect. I'm simply the mailman. I'm just presenting. This book came into my hands. I didn't know anything in existence about this person or this book, and it was even in someone else's hands. And then it was given to me a couple of days ago. I thought, all right, I guess I'm supposed to I should share this. This is knowledge, and knowledge is to help us improve our life and attain the fulfillment of our heart's desires. That's the purpose of knowledge, to bring us happiness, bring us satisfaction, realization of God, and ultimately love of God for those that are devotees and receiving spiritual knowledge. So this is the most crucial spiritual knowledge, the most important spiritual knowledge for aspiring candidates and for initiated devotees. So who is a bona fide spiritual master? A person who has full faith in God, who is dedicated to Him with devotion. There's two qualities here, Shraddha and Bhakti. And who has all good human qualities to their full extent. 26 qualities of devotee. Those are human. Those are also human qualities. We read those 26 qualities. What are those 26 qualities? Merciful, kind, clean, peaceful. Those are human qualities. We find them in also so-called non-devotees are also very clean. And there are a lot of good qualities in people. Find more quantity of those and more depth of those in a devotee. And then the greater the devotee, the more the qualities are revealed and perceivable. So a person who has full faith in God, who is dedicated to Him with devotion, and who has all good human qualities to their full extent. So it says he has all the 26 qualities, but to their full extent. He is a Sadguru, a bona fide spiritual master. He is a Jagat Guru, universal teacher. And you know what are the best characteristics of a guru? So now those were qualities. The first thing that's mentioned, these are the primary things. Full faith in God. He's dedicated to Him with devotion. And he has all good human qualities. It's interesting. And this definition is that it doesn't mention that. Of course, we'll see more. It doesn't mention he knows all the shastras. It doesn't say that. It's tender and blissful. And he is always full of forgiveness. He is very affectionate, tender, and blissful. And he is always full of forgiveness. A person who cannot forgive can never be anyone's guru. Just see, who can be as forgiving and as blissful as the guru? The guru is there to create. The guru is there to create, not to destroy. We are ignorant souls. It is our nature to commit offenses. But the Guru's nature is to forgive these offenses with all of his heart. By giving such a great example, he takes us up the path of advancement. This is the first paragraph of this book. And from this, I can understand this is a fantastic book. And you agree? And this was in Bengali, this is Advaita Prabhu's translation. Look, there is one tattva. You know tattva? Tattva means truth. It also means principle. In this world, where you cannot make any deliberations or arguments. In other words, there's a truth in this world which you can't argue about and you can't deliberate about it. Here, you have to follow orders without deliberations. Do you want to know at whose feet you must make your head roll without deliberation? Interesting phrase. Because it must be that way in Bengali. Your head must roll at the feet. Do you want to know at whose feet you must make your head roll? That is your Sri Guru. Your head should roll in his feet. I hope it doesn't roll too far. It might come off your body. That is your Sri Guru, who is non-different from God. There should be no deliberations about Him to whose feet you have once offered your mind, body, and life heirs, at whose feet you have once sold or surrendered yourself with lowered head. Do you know the word deliberation? You know what it means? Thinking, second thoughts, means like second thoughts or thinking again, or maybe I should or maybe I shouldn't, or up and down, I made a mistake, or was it? That's deliberations, back and forth, back and forth. There should be no deliberations about the guru whose feet you have once offered your mind. Very wonderful phrase and analogy. In this world, you cannot always follow everyone's orders all of the time. And it is not possible to always refrain from criticizing someone for faults he is making in his work. But there is one place where you must follow orders without deliberations. One place where you should fully refrain from fault-finding, and where there should be no criticism or deliberations at all. You cannot let your head roll at everyone's feet, but there is one place where you should make your head roll without any deliberations. It's a good word to look up. He uses a lot. Why should you again have doubts and find faults in he at whose feet you have once surrendered yourself, saying, O Prabhu, O Master, from today on, I am yours. Bapre, bapre, bapre. Boy, oh boy, I have spent, in other words, the Guru now is saying, you come to the Guru and then you surrender him, then don't find faults with him and don't have doubts at his feet. And this is what you're saying. You're saying, from today on, I'm yours. Boy, oh boy, I have spent my whole life carrying this burden of deliberations. Always thinking, yeah, accepting, rejecting, accept this one, that one, this one. From my very birth, I have been distinguishing. This is good, this is not good. Distinguishing. This is good, this is not good. This path is good, this path is no good. And I have never found redemption from the hands of this discriminating intelligence. In other words, I never found freedom. I'm always... Through so much of this deliberation, I wanted to go to the left. But then somebody came and grabbed me by the neck, forcibly pushing me to the right. I thought that it would turn out all right. But everything turned out wrong still. Just see, I have not arrived at any fixed conclusion due to my own speculations. Having failed to do that, I have ultimately laid the full weight of my discriminating intelligence at your feet, saying, Prabhu, do whatever you like. What he's saying here is every human being has intelligence, and the function of intelligence is to discriminate. This is good for me, this is bad. And we discriminate on the basis of our experience, on the basis of our knowledge. Experience means your upbringing, what your parent, your training, your upbringing. It's called indoctrination or whatever, however you're trained or brought up. Then your knowledge. You read so many books. So your training, your experience means your training, your upbringing. Then your knowledge and your travels, all that is your experience, your travels. And your knowledge is all your school and all your education, all your reading of so many books and philosophies. Then you discriminate. This is good for me. This is bad for me. But he's saying that sometimes you go to the right, and then you just that doesn't work out. Then you go to the left, and in this way, we spend lifetime after lifetime, depending on our own intelligence and our own deliberations, and we get no result. We really get no result because we're still here. We're still in the material world. We've taken another birth, which proves that in our previous life we did the same thing. We had so much discrimination, we had so much intelligence, and we went to the right, and we went to the left, and we did this, and we did that, and here we are, with another material body. So he's saying that when you finally find that person who has these qualities or whatever, the guru, the sadguru, whom you can have full faith and surrender to, then it's not like you give up your mind and become mindless or give up your intelligence, but you stop the deliberation practice, because now you're a guru, you're in good hands now, you're on the perfect path. Guru, you're now getting out of the material world, you're on the correct path, no more deliberating. No more about, well, it's now, well, maybe I should be a devotee, maybe I shouldn't be a devotee, maybe I should surrender, maybe I shouldn't. That all goes on before you surrender. Once you've surrendered, then the deliberation should stop. That's why Lord Chaitanya, if we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, he teaches exactly the proper mentality that a devotee should have. We've been reading that just recently. We're reading about that chapter 7 in Adi Lila, about the Mayavadis and all that. And when they would say, why are you just chanting and dancing? He said, no, my guru said I should just be a fool. I should just be, Lord Chaitanya, he's a fool, right? Is he just foolish? No, when he starts speaking, then you see he's not foolish. But before his guru, he said, I'm just a fool. My guru told me just to chant Hare Krishna and dance. So I'm chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. Oh, why did you study Vedanta? Then when he starts speaking Vedanta, then you see he's fully empowered by his guru and he speaks so wonderfully. So this is that, we have to actually come to this this platform. I have ultimately laid the full weight of my discriminating intelligence at your feet, saying, Prabhu, do whatever you like. Thus, I survived with a great sigh of relief. Now, why should I again start speculating about you? In other words, he's talking about this whole... In other words, we find guru, and then we say, well, maybe my guru is this, or maybe my guru is that, or I don't know, this or that. That should go on before one accepts guru. If I start doing this, speculating about my guru, then where should I go? The life of he who starts distinguishing again after having come to the guru is truly pitiable. There must definitely be one place in this world where I will not distinguish things myself, where I can find some cooling relief from the burning sensation of this restless existence. Sri Gurudev stands next to me as an umbrella of fearlessness that gives peace and cool shade. In the cool shade of his feet, I can sit and hear the pleasant, heart-touching, honey-sweet words emanating from his divine mouth, so that I can get an indication of the whereabouts of the eternal abode, where there is eternal peace and happiness, and I can relish the sweetness of this abode while being in this scorching material world. I can relish the sweetness of this abode. I can relish the sweetness of this abode. That means relish the sweetness. What is that sweetness? Madhurya. Dham, Vrindavan. While being in this scorching material world, you must have such a high esteem of the Guru that you will not have any deliberations here about faults or virtues. If you think here that, then think like this, Prabhu, you have not understood this issue very well. Speaking, if the disciple thinks, oh, Gurudev, you have not understood this issue very well. Or Gurudev, what you said is improper. If the disciple thinks like that, then Guru will become like an ordinary human being to us. No, such doubts or fault-finding cannot be maintained here. If Gurudev calls a bale fruit a tall fruit, then we must accept it with lowered head. This is written in 1887. I guess this is Guru Tattva. This is, oh, if Guru says this is a bale fruit, and you know definitely that it's a tall fruit, a palm fruit, then we must accept it with lowered heads. Yes, it is tall fruit. I've heard Sridhar Maharaj preach on the same point. If the disciple cannot have such a high esteem of the Guru, then there is no use in you associating with your Guru. Then it is to be understood that you cannot gain very much from accepting a Guru. If you cannot fully follow the Guru, then it is of no use to accept a Guru. Question. How should we be aware of the relationship with Sri Guru, and how should we obey him? Answer. Deko, look. The relationship with the Guru must be regarded as special in all features. One cannot have deliberations about him as with ordinary human beings. He must be kept in a special position. How can he who is Guru be considered on an equal level with everyone else? The Guru is naturally Guru. He is the jewel on my head. This is disciples. It's hard sometimes to know when. Now this is what the Guru, the disciple should be thinking. My Guru is the jewel on my head. I have to carry him on my head. Now, Guru speaking. If Guru is your master and you are his servant, then you have to consider yourself inferior to him in all features. The scriptures say that the Guru must be considered identical with God. His orders must be obeyed without deliberation. deliberation means that you think about, well, maybe it's important, maybe it's not, or maybe it doesn't mean that, or maybe I can do it this way or that way. That's kind of something of deliberation also. And he must be followed in all respects, unless you have complete... Sometimes when you hear some of these phrases, you might think that I wrote them or something. But I'm just reading. I mean, honestly, I didn't type this up last night. But it sounds interesting because I guess gurus are always saying the same thing. Unless and until you have completely given up all independence and you have completely surrendered unto Sri Guru, you will not be able to experience His grace. How many people are so fortunate to experience the ever so sweet of Sri Guru's grace? He who can relish the grace of Sri Gurudev by following Him and giving up His independence in all respects is most fortunate. He knows that Agya Gurunam Yavi Chariniya, the orders of Sri Gurudev should be followed without deliberation. Important word to know what it means, deliberation. Question. Will Sri... Because this is what bhaktas ask. Well, you know, we're supposed to surrender, but what if the guru says, you know, to go rob a bank or something? Or, you know. Yeah, they ask. I was 4 years at the temple present. So many bhaktas coming. You know, Satsrupa became his disciple. Will Sri Gurudev ever give us an unfair order? That's the language being used here. An unfair order, or order we can't fulfill or something. No! He will never give us an unfair order, for He is aware of all that goes on within our hearts. He is aware of all that goes on within our hearts. In other words, He knows whether or not we are able and qualified to follow His order as the Antaryami, or Supersoul. There is no greater well-wishing friend than Gurudev. Well-wisher. It's like Prabhupada used to sign his letters, "You're ever well-wisher." Right? Mm-hmm. One should never be an illusion. One should never be in the illusion that he, or Gurudev, would bring us into trouble or danger by giving us an unfair order. It is not exaggerated to say that if there is even the slightest doubt that the Guru's words are not spoken, if there's even the slightest doubt that the Guru's words are not spoken for our benefit, this will hamper devotion and even destroy it. You should know that doubts in the Guru's words or disregard for them is a fatal obstacle to the attainment of bhakti. You should know that doubts in the... You might have doubts about different things, the philosophy or whatever, and you ask your guru, and you know, doubts are there, so guru removes doubts. But doubts in the guru's words or disregard for them, I am a fool. I really don't know anything about Krishna. I don't know anything about bhakti. But my Gurudev knows everything about Krishna. He knows everything about bhakti. So if he says that I have to run around these parking lots and sell these bhagavatams, then that's what I have to do. He says, I have to go out here to the Los Angeles airport for 8 hours a day, and my back hurts, and my knees hurt, and carry these bhagavatams and approach all these mlechas and yavanas and demoniac people that I wouldn't even look at, even if I was a karmi, and try to sell them books. And I do that, although I'd rather be somewhere else, or I'd rather be in Vrindavan. Because every guru, that's what this whole idea, what's being discussed here, is that as soon as we think we know something, then we're lost. In other words, because this whole, what we know is Maya. And what we know is how to stay in the material world. We know how to do that. We're very good at it. We know how to stay in the material world. So we must be humble enough and submissive enough to realize that if we want to get out of the material world, have to approach someone who is out of it. Out of the material world. And therefore, I don't know anything about this subject, Whatever you say, okay, that's it. That's what I know is what you tell me. And when the books that you tell me to read, I read those books. Now I know something. I may have some questions how to understand it, and please, you know, remove my doubts and please clarify everything. But ultimately, my understanding of this whole field is all coming from you. As soon as we think we know something, then we become the guru, and we say, well, I don't need the guru. What do I need you for? I know that I know I'm doing Vajan and I'm making progress, and you don't know anything. You don't know my heart. I know my heart. Then then you're nowhere. But that, if one actually has proper guru, and he's actually, you know, qualified disciple, it won't come to that position where he thinks, well, my guru really doesn't know me. My guru really doesn't know me. If he knew me, he wouldn't tell me to do this. That means that the guru really doesn't know you, or you picked the wrong guru or something. Something's wrong. The person isn't guru. That's all the basis of faith. One problem is premature surrender. Insufficient surrender and premature surrender without knowing what you're getting into or what it's all about. And this is very important. We see a lot of that nowadays. Or maybe we always saw it, but it seems like a lot of it. Where the disciples think, because they approach me. Many. I've been here in Radha Damodar Temple, and somehow many disciples or gurus around the world, they see me as a neutral personality. They see me as someone they can talk to or someone they can trust. And so they come to me, approach me. I'm talking about initiate. I'm not talking about doctors. I'm initiate. Because they feel I'm not political. I'm not a GBC enough. They see me that I don't go around talking this, that, grapevine. So they come. They say, oh, here's a neutral person we can discuss. So what they discuss is often this dilemma of not having faith to follow the orders of the spiritual master. Big problem. That's everything. You have no faith to follow the orders of the spiritual master, then what do you have? What's left? if you feel deep trust in someone, and deep faith for someone, and deep love for someone, and deep respect for someone, that's within you. You can't legislate faith. You can't legislate trust. Okay, now trust me. Now faith. You can't do that. It's not possible. That grows within you. By associating with a person, by being with a person, hearing from a person. And this spirit, we're talking about spiritual faith, and it's by hearing from the person. We can only pray to Radharani to bless those souls with some kind of guru bhakti or some shelter. Faith, that's why we say ado shraddha. And what does shraddha grow into? What does shraddha grow to? Prema, exactly. So it's a growing process. Faith gets more and more condensed, more and more deep. And that faith gives you the strength to perform, to associate. Gives you encouragement, determination to associate with devotees. And then that faith, when you associate devotees, that increases your faith to be like them and to do bhajan and practice bhakti. And then by practicing bhakti, that gives more faith. Because bhakti is a shadow of faith, it's a ray of faith. Like a sister of shraddha and bhakti are brother and sister. So then you perform bhakti, and then that gives you more faith, and then your faith becomes thicker and thicker. And what is condensed, what is thickened faith? Thickened faith is known as nishtha. And then that faith starts, when it gets thick, then it starts to take on a taste. Like milk by itself is some taste, not much. When you cook it down, the taste increases, gets condensed. So then that's ruchi, after nishtha. It's more taste, more thick. Faith becomes thicker. When faith becomes thicker and thicker, then it gives some taste, ruchi. So it grows. You have to be patient. We have to take time. You have to spend time. Because we feel, it is our feeling, that devotees are superficially convinced or about guru from the mental platform. Mental platform means accepting and rejecting. And they put faith But it's not educated faith. They haven't actually spent. The Shastras say you should spend a year or two with your guru. Like some gurus in this kind, they say, you come and stay in my temple for a year and you serve there and you hear from me a year or two. And then, in other words, so many doubts will come up in a disciple's mind. Well, is my guru really liberated? Does he know the Shastras? You know, all those things. And any doubts that one has, he should have the freedom, have the time to sit with that guru and remove those doubts. And ask questions. And if you're deserving, due to your previous practices of spiritual life, due to your crying of your heart, if you're deserving to get first-class guru, because there are different levels of guru, you'll get first-class guru. There's no chance. It's not by chance that someone says, I really want spiritual life, I'm really looking for God, and I know I finally found my Gurudev. And then you meet that person. I met so many. They wear these red leotards and red t-shirts and stuff, you know, like red, you know, Levi's or something. And they come up to me, oh, and they're all fired up, and I meet them, and they say, oh, you know, I'm so happy, I just came from India, I got initiated by so-and-so. Oh, great, congratulations. That's wonderful. You know, well, this, you know, because I'm trying to sell them a book, right? Trying to sell them Bhagavatam in the Los Angeles airport, and they're flying in from India. I say, great, well, that's all fantastic. Well, you just came back from India. Mm-hmm. Who's your guru? Oh, wonderful, wonderful, mm-hmm. Wonderful. Where are you from? Really, I'm from Santa Monica. Hey, well, you know, I'm into yoga myself, you know, bhakti yoga, you're into it. It's a great thing. The whole world is improving now. See, this book is Bhagavatam, blah, 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 blah. You take it with you? Yeah, great. You know, thank you, goodbye. And so somehow or other he thinks that that's a great thing, he has his guru. So it's a very nice thing, but everything is nothing by chance. If this person gets guru, he has faith, but how much faith does he have? He had faith in guru, but how much faith did he have? Because he had more faith and more sukriti, he would get more proper guru.
You're thinking that nothing is coming by chance. Now, of course, in the case, now someone he wants to, he got some particular guru, but then on the other side he become like a conscious that actually he has to make more advancement. That means like he figures actually that, and now he's, for example, like he has initiation,
but he's sugars.
Shiksha
Guru,
no problem.
Shiksha and Diksha Gurus are the equal manifestations of the Absolute Truth. It's a family. Krishna has a family. Guru is in a parivar. It's Krishna's family. That's what I said. We read that in the first page. Sri Guru is Krishna. Shiksha Guru is Sri Guru. Diksha Guru is Sri Guru. Krishna comes. Oh, now this is ABCs. Okay. Now you want the XYZs, and another one comes in. This is XYZs. What is the competition? What is the problem? Problem is false ego. It's assuming, this is a very large assumption, assuming we had some disciples, gave some teachings, and they felt, oh, Gurudev, there's this Acharya over here, he's speaking so many wonderful things, and my heart is inspired. I feel that some more bhakti can come over there. And if that person is in our line, in proper line, then well, I'll say, no, you're my disciple. How's that my disciple? You're Krishna's. You're Prabhu. You're my master. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he addressed his disciples as Prabhu. You're my masters. I'm your servant. I'm serving you. I'm serving you. I'm serving Krishna to you. I'm serving Krishna to you. And if you see that there's someone else is serving Krishna more over there, then fine. Very fine. Please. Whatever. I remember Satsrup Maharaj, when one of his disciples went to Gaur Govinda Maharaj. And he said, do you mind if I go to Bhuvaneshwar and live at the lotus feet of Gaur Govinda Maharaj and serve him and hear from him? He said, fine, wonderful. Will that inspire you? Will you improve your bhakti? Yes, I feel so, Gurudev. Very fine. You go with my full blessings. And if you learn something over there and you find something nice, please write and tell me. Please write and tell me and help me also. Help me. If you find something nice or hear something nice or hear some nice tapes, please send them to me. I would like to also hear. What does that mean? That means no false ego. You know, we're all jivas, right? And some jivas, Krishna wants them to act as guru. But ultimately, we're all servants. We're all Krishna's servants. It's not that guru is some special, you know, he's special, no doubt. We're hearing he's special. But ultimately, we're all meant to live in the service of Krishna, in the spiritual world. Guru will be there serving. We'll be there serving with guru. Serving together.